Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It is with the greatest pleasure that I welcome a man that all of us have come to know and admire, I think, greatly, by public opinion poll standards at least. He's off the charts in terms of the favorability ratings, and I think that's because what is absolutely unmistakable about our guest, Dr. Ben Carson, is he is an extraordinary human being, a decent man, a brilliant neurosurgeon, and now a man putting himself in the arena for the candidacy of the Republican nomination for the presidency and comporting himself with great distinction and apparently with considerable results with the public. Dr. Carson, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. It's great to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be with you. Thanks.
Of course, you were much in evidence in the recent debate in California, the second of the two. Your views on a particular priority, I think, for those of us associated with this program were very heartening as far as they went. And I'd ask you to just sort of tease out a little bit your thinking on what you called the global jihad and the necessity of destroying it.
Well, a lot of people think back to anything bad that happened when we got involved. For instance, they say we lost a lot of people in Iraq, and we, you know, went from a budget surplus to deficits that, you know, have had tremendously deleterious impacts. And they say we don't want to do that again. But they need to recognize that what's going on now and what was going on then are two different things. And what's going on now with the global jihadists is an existential threat to us. They want to destroy us, and they want to destroy our way of life and everything that we represent. And they are in the process of building themselves up. They've gained tremendous strength and numbers just over the last couple of years, primarily because we've kind of said, that's a problem for those people over there. It's not our problem. And, you know, they've been able to take large portions of Iraq. They have probably half of Iraq now, including Anbar province. And they've taken a third of Syria, and they have footholds in Somalia and Tunisia and Nigeria. And they have established a caliphate, and they want to just increase that. What we have to do is we have to recognize that we have two options. We can allow them to continue to grow and accomplish their goal, or we can use every resource known to man, including the financial markets, including our covert activities, including special forces, and if need be, troops, in order to take, I think, away what they've gained, particularly in Iraq, drive them up to Syria.
You have, I think, connected one of the most important dots, and I must say I think it's been largely absent from leaders of this country, that there is, in fact, this phenomenon at work, a global jihad movement. It's not just the franchise doing business here or there under the Islamic State flag or the Taliban or Hamas or Hezbollah. It's really an enterprise that, despite myriad differences within its ranks, is nonetheless of a mind about what needs to be done to us, which is to force us to submit or to be destroyed. What you've just said, I think, is particularly important, and that is that where we are today versus where we were a decade ago is that the capabilities of this jihad have enhanced greatly. It may be that they've always had this ambition, but they've certainly improved their capabilities. And in that regard, I was kind of struck. I don't recall you talking about the Iran, well, I call it the Obama bomb deal. What is your view of that? Because that really does seem to me to be such a qualitative change in the jihadist enterprise that I'd be interested in your thoughts about what we should be doing there.
Well, you know, I was extremely disappointed. I didn't feel that the Congress put up the kind of fight that they should have. And one of the advantages in putting up a fight is that you bring it to the forefront so that everybody's seeing what's going on. The president and his administration were able to do a lot of this under the covers and without the American people recognizing what was going on. And as they found out more, of course, they're outraged. But, you know, the process has been moved along much too far. this should have been done, in my opinion, as a treaty and not as an executive deal. But of course, the president didn't want to do that because that would require two-thirds approval of the Senate. And he has his own agendas and doesn't really care.
And of course, Secretary of State John Kerry said, we didn't have the votes for it to be passed as a treaty. And that was probably the ulterior motive of the first order. So where does that leave us today, as you see it? Are you in the camp that seemed to be the majority of the candidates that says, I'm not going to have anything to do with this agreement should I become president? Or there were some who seemed to say, as our colleague Fred Flights pointed out a short while ago, that, we'll just have to suck it up and live with it.
No, I think this is a horrible agreement. And, of course, the day that the president leaves office, it is of no effect that the next president doesn't agree with it. That's the disadvantage of doing it as an executive deal. And, I don't mean to say that we shouldn't talk. I think I would advocate for new talks. But the conditions of those talks is if they still have our hostages, they let them go. And we have to have anytime, anywhere inspections by the people that we want to do the inspections. If they don't agree to that, then it tells you right off the bat that they have nefarious motives.
Yeah, well, I think that's it's pretty clear that these guys have pretty nefarious motives. That the death to America thing is a kind of a clue, as you say. Dr. Carson, let me ask you about one other issue. It's arisen both to some extent in the course of the debate out at the Presidential Library, Ronald Reagan's library, but also, I guess, in your appearance on the O'Reilly Factor yesterday, namely your views on Afghanistan. You've said you oppose the war there. Explain what your thinking is about that conflict and what we should have done instead.
I don't oppose taking action because, the training camps absolutely need to be wiped out. Osama bin Laden, absolutely we should have gone after him. But I'm not sure that requires, putting our troops out there in harm's way where they can just be picked off, which is unfortunately what has happened in many cases. So I would be looking for different ways to do that. An aggressive use of some of our special forces, absolutely, I'm 100% for that. But recognize that Afghanistan is a country that really doesn't have a dependable central government. They have, 300 tribal leaders. And the successes that we have had, stem from the fact that we were able to do things in conjunction with the Northern Alliance of those leaders. But as that situation has deteriorated, so has our safety over there. So, by no way am I dovish on the, need for us to respond. I'm just talking about the ways that we do it.
And I think many of us feel very much of the view that trying to occupy a nation like Afghanistan with its hostility, with its, attachment to Sharia, among other things, is a fool's errand. And agree with you very much that we really missed a bet in terms of being able to work with the Northern Alliance tribes to counter the Taliban as they did so effectively for a time and as we need them to do, I think, on an ongoing basis.
I think we have a lot of history. When we look at Jimmy Carter, and then we look at Barack Obama, and you look at where we were when both of those administrations started and where we were when they finished in terms of respect in the world, it tells you something. It's only when we manifest the muscle that we have in the appropriate way that we get the kind of respect that then allows us to have successful foreign policy. We cannot have successful foreign policy if people perceive us as weak and undependable.
As you know so well, Dr. Ben Carson, President Reagan used to call that peace through strength. I'm thrilled that you embrace that concept. And most especially, I have to say, I think your articulation of a strategy going forward against the global jihad of using all instruments of national power, which is really what Reagan did against the Soviet Union, is not only commendable, but urgently needed. So thank you for taking a bit of time to discuss all of these with us. I hope you'll come back often as the campaign continues. And God bless you, sir. We appreciate your past service to our people and country and that you are offering in the future. Keep it up and come back to us again very soon. Next up, Rick Fisher on China. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.